Well, hello and welcome back to another episode of Manual Mode. I'm Mariah Sautel. I hope you are all loving this fall weather if you are in a place where it is fall right now. Before we dive into today's episode, I just want to mention that at the time of this recording, my advanced photography mastermind in focus is open for applications. So if you have been a successful photographer for a few years now and you're really looking for growth and accountability in 2022, then I'd encourage you to check out mariahbrook.com/mastermind. And of course, send me any questions you might have, but if it's a good fit, I would love to have you. Now, in today's episode, I'm interviewing Lorena Masso, a San Francisco-based food and drink photographer. Lorena has a background in culinary arts, which eventually led to her career in food styling and photography. Lorena's story starts in Mexico, where she was born and raised, and you could almost guess it based on the vibrant, earthy tones that fill her portfolio. She's a true artist, and I'm excited to learn more about her process and vision today. So welcome to the podcast, Lorena. I'm so excited to have you. Can you take me all the way back to the beginning and tell me kind of what brought you into culinary arts and what made you interested in that in the first place?
Yeah, of course. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me today on Manual Mode. Like you said, my name is Lorena Masso, and I'm from Guadalajara, Mexico, but I live in the San Francisco Bay Area. And to be honest, I don't know if it is part of our culture or what it is, but I think food for Mexicans is very important. And since I can remember, it has been present in my life. Like every breakfast and lunch and dinner, it's always there, right? Like for breakfast, we'll have like molletes or chilaquiles. And then for lunch, which is very different from the American lunch because we eat around like 2 or 3, which is very late. But I remember when I was coming back from school every single day, I will have lunch with my family. And that thing is that time of the day that you spend with your family, then you can give the bad news if you got a bad grade or something good, right? Food is very important. For lunch, you start with like a soup or salad, and then you have the main dish. And it's a lunch that it can last until like 1 hour or maybe an hour and a half. And I think I also come from a very diverse family. My grandmother from my mom's side was American, but she moved to Mexico at a very young age when she met my grandfather. And so we used to have sometimes on Christmas, like turkey and stuffing, like the food that we have on Thanksgiving here in the US, right? So I used to have it there for Christmas. And from my dad's side, my grandfather is Lebanese. So I grew up having dolmas and tabbouleh on special occasions for like Mother's Day and Father's Day. So I think that added a lot to my life. And in some way, that's how I ended up doing food. And my family, I think that was my father. My father had this dream about embracing the restaurant industry back in the 90s. So he opened the first loncheria, that is just a place for lunches in Mexico. And I think I was like 6 years old when he opened the first one. And I was there just working or pretending to be working, right? It was always present in my life. And when we moved to California, I was looking at some schools here in Northern California to go to culinary art. But to be honest, they were like way too expensive for me and I just couldn't afford them. So for a whole year, I like literally saved all my money. And a friend of mine told me about this school in Buenos Aires that is very well known in Latin America called Mausi Service. And yeah, went there and stayed for almost a year and a half and came back, started working in the catering business here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And it was pretty funny because I remember that I was working for this company. This company was making all type of events, like weddings and big productions. And it was just pretty funny because I remember going on locations and like to this warehouse in South San Francisco, and they had a wide, beautiful kitchen, and someone was there cooking. And on the other side, they were doing like a catalog or something. And it was pretty funny because I didn't know that that person was a food stylist. And now I know because I've been doing this, but I think it's one of those careers like literally no one knows about it. And so, yeah. And I was just so happy also, like going from one place to another one in the catering business. Like, that's what you do. And so, yeah, until I hurt my back, and I started wondering, like, okay, what's going to be next for me? I don't think I can go back to a kitchen and work like 13 hours. So one day I was watching a YouTube video from the Bai Chan, and about like styling and herbs and backdrops, which was pretty new to me. So I was like, okay, I can totally do that. I went to Home Depot the next day, got a few supplies to make some backdrops, came back home. My husband had a camera, a Canon 60D that came out, I believe it was in 2010 or 11. And he bought that camera, I mean, through another friend. So I was clueless, like totally, and took the camera, made some backdrops, made some cookies, and that's how I started in my living room. I was like, okay, so I'm just gonna learn about like how I'm gonna style it, what's the big angle, and but at the same time, I felt that I needed to learn photography to understand it completely, like to understand how I needed to place and composition and colors. So one thing led me to another one, and I'm really loving it. Like I would like both parts of it. Like I don't know, it's one of those things that it complements each other. Yeah, that was 2 years ago. One day I was browsing on Craigslist. Yeah, I mean you never know what you can find on Craigslist, right? So I saw a post from foodie.com that is a platform for photographers or stylists that, I mean, you can get hired. So I immediately created my profile, added some images. And I don't know if it was that same day or the next day that I got an email from Martha Foley, the creator of foodie.com. Just trying to explain me how to like maximize her website. And so yeah, we chatted a little bit. And it was funny because after a few months after that, I got another email from her that she was looking for a food stylist assistant because she was working with a Mexican brand here in the USA. So, but she's in LA. So I say yes. I went to LA for 3 days. We made 8 videos for this brand, and it was fun. It was really fun, and that's how I got my first job. And then after that, I started just getting like very small gigs here in the Bay Area, like restaurants and small products. But I knew that I needed to have a mentor. So, and a very, I don't know, I think that's something that you need to invest in yourself when you are doing this. So I reach out to Bella. She goes by Fulfill on Instagram. And yeah, I've been learning a lot from her. After our first session, I think my photography totally changed. And yeah, that's how everything is started.
I love that. That's so great. Can you tell me a little bit about how Mexico inspires kind of the colors that you use? I can see it so clearly in your work. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah, I think we're full of colors in like everything. I mean, everywhere in Mexico, and it's part of the culture. I remember when I was little, I used to tell my mom, "Oh, can we paint our room, my room, yellow?" And she was like, "Yeah, let's just pick a color." And so I had my room yellow for some time, and I think that's just part of the culture. I don't think I was totally aware of that until I started doing photography, and that how was like coming together. And yeah, I mean, my house is like, I have some furniture that they're blue and they're pretty Mexican. So yeah, I think colors for me are very important because in some way they tell you without saying anything, you know, like they kind of, I don't know, it just like depends what color or hue you want to use is the vibe that you're going to transmit. So yeah, for me, colors are very important. And I think that's part of my Mexican side. Mm-hmm.
You definitely have like a masterful control of color. I can see it so clearly. So I love that. I think it's so great that you started off assisting in a larger shoot, because I think a lot of people, and I think maybe Instagram and different people that we learn from have somewhat created this, and it's not a good or bad thing, but I think a lot of people start this thinking that you have to be the photographer and the stylist and you have to do everything yourself. Mm-hmm. So I think it's so great that you started off knowing that these bigger productions are really a team of people. Yeah. Do you have a favorite role when you're working on a larger production? Like, do you prefer the styling or the photography, or is there a part of it that you really are drawn to the most?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I think it depends. Like, if there is a small project and a client or someone is looking for a photographer and they love and see me, what I'm able to create, then I like to do both. But if it's for someone else, I like to style. Yeah, I think because I come from the food industry and I have this, or I would like to think that I know what I'm doing. It's just the process, like, okay, what's going to happen to this ingredient if you add too much heat? So it's, I think styling is one of the things that I really enjoy. Yeah.
Can you give us any of your favorite styling tips?
yeah. I think keep it very honest, like, just learn to cook. I think that's very important. You need to know what's going to happen to something, like how it's going to look. Maybe you just needed to cook it a little bit less so it doesn't get saggy, or maybe just add a little bit of color, or maybe some marks. Yeah, but definitely you need to learn how to cook. I think that's like the main or like the tip that I can say. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think it's helpful to know even what flavors taste like, so you can try to communicate that visually. Just yeah, really knowing your ingredients and all that mm-hmm, mm-hmm. totally makes sense. Can we go back for a minute and talk about, you mentioned investing in yourself, and it's so scary the first time you invest in yourself. It mm-hmm. feels like, oh my word, what if this doesn't pay off? So what made you decide to take the leap and invest in yourself the first time?
Yeah. Well, the thing is that, I mean, you're not going to know what's going to be for you in the future, right? I mean, you can work and work, and I mean, and the only thing that you can do is hope and work hard and connect with others, but you never know, right? So, like I said, my husband had a camera, and I started working, I mean, just learning to use it. And I went and made some backdrops. So I think you need to get a little bit crafty at the beginning, instead of just, I mean, because there is a lot of things on there that you can buy. And yeah, you're like wondering like, oh, should I get a camera? Should I invest in this, I don't know, course, but it's just too expensive right now, which is good. I mean, right now I've been like investing in a lot of courses because I think it's important, but at the same time, I'm very aware of, okay, I know that I'm going to need to pay my taxes, or I know that I need to maybe in a year, I don't know, buy another camera, or something else. So yeah, it's always like, okay, what can I do to, or how can I do things to save a little bit of money, but at the same time just invest or like learn from others. So yeah, I think you just need to find a way, and then start little by little.
I totally agree with that. Now, I love interviewing people who have smaller Instagram followings, because I think there's a big misconception that you need to have a big social media presence to be a food photographer. But I think that that can actually hold you back in some ways. Oh, and yeah, it can also distract you from spending more time really working on your work and creating mm-hmm. things that creative directors want to see versus that algorithms and followers want to see, when we're really trying to catch the eye of creative directors. And I think you are the perfect example, because you have such a small following, but you are so successful and you have beautiful work and a great business. So can you talk to me a little bit about how you get clients? Because I think people would be like, how does she get them if she has a small following? But clearly you're getting them. So yeah, can you tell me a little bit about your, just all of that?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I mean, and I totally agree with you. I think you need to feel, I mean, sometimes you feel that you need to have, I don't know, like a lot of followers to have some, like, I don't know, to work for someone or with someone. But at the same time, I think it takes away from you, because you're always worried about like, okay, I need to create because I need to have a bigger audience. And at the same time, or that was my case, right? I felt that instead of spending time with something that I was happy creating or working, I was worried about like, oh, I need to do this because I know that they're going to like it, or and maybe that's going to bring others. I don't think you need to worry about that. What I can say is that whatever it like you are, you just need to reach out to people. Show what you can do, what you're able to do, but you just need to connect. I mean, go for a coffee with someone, or maybe drink, send an email, reach out, I mean, to a brand, or maybe, I don't know, just local restaurants, and see what happens. And I mean, I think you'll be very surprised to see that having that human touch can bring you a lot of things, right? I think right now there are a lot of things happening in the world that if you are really honest and authentic to others, that can bring and connect deeply with friends and with people around you. And also, I think it's very important to surround yourself with good people, because not everybody is going to want like the best thing for you. So yeah, pick the people that, I mean, they can empower you and support you. Mm-hmm.
To me, the real value in social media is that it's a way for us to initially make connections with people to then have relationships with them. But the thought that that would just be the place where everything comes from just isn't the case. It's really about getting out and talking to people and mm-hmm. making connections and working together and all yeah. that. So that's great. Can you talk to me a little bit about imposter syndrome? I think a lot of us deal with it. Uh-huh. I'm sure you've dealt with it. So what does that look like when you're dealing with it, and how do you get over it?
Yeah, Well, I think it's going to be present. I mean, it's going to be there like all the time. Like you're going to wonder if am I good enough? And you just need to embrace it, to be honest. You need to be aware that it's going to be there and you need to find a way to get rid of it. Like for me, what I like to do is to create maybe a backdrop. To look, I don't know, to go for a walk. I like to upholster sometimes some pieces of furniture here in my house, so or to repaint something, and I don't know, just to create a little bit of space for me to be able to go back and bring the best, right? I know that it's gonna be there, like in the back of my head, saying, "Oh no, you're not good enough. Someone else is gonna do it better." But I mean, don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. Just do what you have to do, embrace it, and create things that you're happy with. And yeah.
I think that's great. So what's next for you looking to 2022? I can't believe we're already almost there. What are kind of some goals you're working on or any upcoming projects you're excited about?
Well, yeah. I guess this year has been very tough for the food industry. I think we all know that, right? But at the same time, I have seen and like talked to other photographers, and it has been like the busiest time. So I think I have been blessed with a lot of jobs here in the by San Francisco Bay Area. And I think there is one that I'm very proud of. I did some photography for them for their website and social media. And it's called La Cocina Marketplace. They are located in San Francisco. But what I like about them is the philosophy that they have, what they follow, and is the first food hall here in San Francisco run by a woman of color. It's just a beautiful place where you have these six vendors. If you go, if you want, if one day you're here in San Francisco, I highly recommend you to stop by. It's just like a beautiful place, and their story, like you have these six vendors and knowing them, and especially when you come from the food industry, you know the amount of work that is required to build something, right? To have a good meal. So yeah, I think that's one of the projects that I'm very proud, and I'm just really looking forward to 2022 and to work with more people and to connect with others. So yeah, that's yeah.
I love it. One last question for you. What's your favorite thing to cook?
What's my favorite thing to cook?
I love how excited you just got about that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I get that question, I mean, a lot. So and I don't have a dish that I can say, oh, this is the one. I think it depends like in my mood or if it's cold or hot. Yeah, I like curries, but if we
Ooh.
talk about, yeah, I know a curry is always good. But if I talk about, I mean, if I want to have something Mexican, I will go for molletes. Or maybe some huevos divorciados, something that is very hearty and tasty. So yeah, or maybe like a chicken soup, but a Mexican chicken soup. But that is kind of similar to the American chicken soup, but I think we added chayote, which is just a vegetable, another vegetable, and maybe a little bit of jalapeno. And yeah, so
Yes, all the extra flavor.
Yes.
I love it. It's all so good. Well, thank you so much, Lorena. This is a great conversation, and it just makes me want to go make something with color when I talk to
Oh, no, thank you so much for having me. I think this has been like the best part of my day. So, no, thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Manual Mode. As always, you can find links to our guest on the show notes on mariahbrook.com. And we will be back next week with yet another great guest. In the meantime, please rate, review, subscribe, and I will see you back same time, same place next week.